Nick was definitely moving while the bell was happening. He is expelled. You're done, son. Welcome back. Final segment. Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time for a Wednesday. That means it is time for the Crunch Exchange, which is sponsored by Gary Jordan, financial advisor with Ameriprise Financial Services. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Office is located 2260 Oakmont Way in Eugene. 541-484-2444. So again, the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to bring up some stories from around the world of sports. Steve is going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus from those stories. There's also an option for pending. So let's start off with just a horrible situation yesterday with Roy Halladay, obviously. One look at his Twitter will show you just how passionate he was about flying. Obviously, he crashed off the Florida coast yesterday and died from it. That led us to discuss his baseball legacy and kind of how he ranks. You mentioned yesterday that a writer referred to him as a Hall of Famer, and you questioned it. He's up for the Hall in 2019. His accomplishments include Cy Youngs in each league and finishing second in the Cy Young two times. He was an All-Star eight times. His WAR is the highest of any pitcher since 2000. He threw 65 complete games, threw a perfect game, a no-hitter in his first playoff start. But he didn't play as much as many think, missing a lot of time due to injury. And if you ask Baseball Reference to compare Halladay to like pitchers from his era, the names that come up are Tim Hudson, CC Sabathia, Dwight Gooden, and Roy Oswalt. Those guys are not Hall of Famers. So the prospectus, Roy Halladay is a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Yeah, eight All-Star games, Cy Young in both leagues. And like we talked about yesterday, that I don't think gets enough attention. From 2002 through 2011, that's 10 years. He would have been, if you'd have said, all right, you need a pitcher to win a game, he'd have been top two, three, depending on the year, maybe even one or two. So that winning percentage, like we talked about yesterday, top 20 all time, and even better for the modern era. I'll tell you the truth, and multiple times in the Cy Young top five, I'm going to go with him as a Hall of Famer, and I'm usually kind of a stickler for this.
So do you think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Ooh. Ah! Pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Respect that, always. Baseball season is obviously over, so the next thing to think about, free agency. SI put out their list of the top 50 guys out there where they fit best, and the list is strong. Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish, Eric Hosmer, Wade Davis, Lorenzo Cain, Carlos Santana, and the number one player on their list, JD Martinez from Arizona. Interesting note they pointed out in the story, Martinez was actually cut by the Astros spring training of 2014 and passed waivers, so no other team picked him up. Since then, he has the seventh best OPS in baseball. Last season, hit 45 bombs, 104 RBI with a 304 average. But is he more valuable than starting pitching? Arrieta and Darvish had down years, but are still dominant starters in the sport. And they're all basically the same age. Martinez, 30, Darvish, 31, Arrieta, 32. So the prospectus, JD Martinez, the premier free agent this year in baseball.
Well, let's just come to one conclusion. We've learned that in a clutch situation, you can't have Yu Darvish anywhere near the stadium with his 1 2/3 back to back. I know he just turned 30. I think Lorenzo Cain has some value. He's an elite glove out there. He's got speed. His numbers are, he's a 290 hitter. He's got some pop. But I would definitely go Arrieta over Darvish, and JD Martinez, another stick. I'm a great believer in go for the arm, and I thought Arrieta, after a great season and a really good season, some slip-ups, kind of came back to the top of the pack. I would go Arrieta, so that would be a sell.
Yesterday, we learned that LiAngelo Ball, two other UCLA freshmen, Jalen Hill, Cody Riley, were arrested in China for shoplifting from the Louis Vuitton store that was next to the hotel their team was staying in. Despite reports to the contrary, all of the players out of prison on bail, but must stay in the hotel until everything is resolved, which we're not sure when that will be. Steve Alford came out and said the players will not play Friday in their exhibition, but that he wouldn't comment further. Larry Scott released a statement more or less saying he he's bummed that it happened. Maybe not in those exact words. LeVar Ball canceled the press conference yesterday because it's a legal issue, but said to a reporter that he doesn't think it's a big deal and that the kids will be fine. So the prospectus, you buy or sell that this isn't a big deal and everything will be fine.
Even if everything ends up fine and they don't do time in a Chinese prison because they make financial amends, it's a huge deal. They're representing the country, they're representing the conference, the university, and they're going to go shoplift at Louis Vuitton's. I would have more respect for them if they shoplifted a liquor store. So this is a really big deal, so sell that too.
UFC President Dana White told the LA Times this week that he and the UFC are absolutely 100% going to get into the boxing business. He even told them that he is in the process of getting a promoter's license to be able to do it. Now, there is no denying that he made a ton of money promoting the boxing, quote-unquote, match between Mayweather and McGregor. And White's roots in fighting actually began with the Sweet Science in Boston before apparently the mafia forced him to move to Vegas, where he ended up meeting his business partners who bought the UFC for $2 million, which they turned into $4 billion last year. But should White stay in his lane? Boxing is, after all, a dying sport for the most part, so White could be wasting his time and money, or he could bring the sport back from the brink. The prospectus, Dana White and the UFC getting into boxing is a good idea.
Hey, I'm a boxing fan. We've had one fight worth paying attention to, which the only reason we watched it is because it was going to be a farce and we couldn't look away. I mean, this guy's been a success story. He's brought charisma and a good entertainment value. What do you have to lose? What the hell? Give it a shot. I'm buying that.
You got $4 billion. You got to spend it on something. Josh Gordon back in football after being suspended for a couple of seasons, and he did an interview with GQ in which he detailed his drug use and how much it consumed his life. Said he started using drugs in seventh grade and that his game day routine involved going home from the team hotel, eating breakfast, smoking weed, and drinking alcohol. Then he would go play in a game. Lots of other things he said in the GQ story that are interesting as well, including that he moved from Cleveland to Florida because Browns fans like would damage his property, fight with his family in the stands, harass his mom at the store, a lot more than that. So it's an interesting read. But the drug use before games kind of sticks out. The prospectus, you buy or sell that Josh Gordon could drink and smoke weed before NFL games and still be as good as he was.
Oh, like when Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on acid. It's such crap. It's not even funny. I'll not only say no, I'll be like, liar. So I'm selling that.